Board meeting work session number 12-21. Not too much ice being dumped in the background. Here in the inn at Priest Lake, and on Zoom, we're going to call this meeting to order. That was loud. Roll call, please, Jennifer.
Mr. Parker.
Here.
Mr. Chase.
Here.
Ms. Cole-Hanson.
Here.
Mr. Olmstead.
Here.
Mr. Stevenson.
Here.
Mr. Vandermeulen.
Here.
Mr. Van Stone.
Here.
And Chairman Rabel.
Here. Okay. The next item of business is executive session. Is there a motion?
Pursuant to Idaho Code 742061, subsection F, I request that the board resolve into executive session to communicate with legal counsel regarding legal ramifications of and legal options for pending litigation or controversies not yet being litigated, but eminently likely to be litigated. I request that a roll call vote be taken and that the secretary report the vote in the minutes of the meeting.
Second.
Been moved and seconded. Could we have a roll call vote, please?
I'm sorry, who was the second?
Al.
Mr. Barker?
Aye.
Mr. Chase?
Aye.
Ms. Cole-Hanson?
Aye.
Mr. Olmstead?
Aye.
Mr. Stevenson?
Aye.
Mr. Vandermeulen?
Aye.
Mr. Van Stone?
Aye.
Chairman Rabel?
Aye.
Okay.
One second, I don't think Brandon McLean needs to be on this call, right?
Not that I'm aware. Daryl, that's not part of your team, is it?
No, it is not, Chairman.
I will. Put him in the waiting room.
Okay, I think we're ready.
Second.
It's been moved and seconded. All in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Motion carries. We're now out of executive session. Let's give ourselves 5 minutes.
Here's the one problem.
Okay, we're gonna bring the meeting back to order. We'd like to welcome all of our guests. We apologize for keeping you waiting, but we're glad to have you here. Senator Vick, we'd like to recognize you here with us today. Appreciate you taking the time to come and join with us today. Up next on the agenda, we're going to talk about Priest Lake. Brian, how's that going to go?
Okay, we've got a series of presentations regarding Priest Lake this morning, Mr. Chairman. We'll start off with a report on the current status of the Priest Lake Water Management Project.
Did I just hear we can't hear?
Right. Can't hear it very well. Not able to hear.
Okay. We'll do our best to project our way back. When I'm talking like this, can you hear me okay?
Yeah.
Okay. Okay. Mr. Chairman, we have a series of presentations regarding Priest Lake this morning. First, we'll have an update from Neely Miller of staff on the status of the Priest Lake Water Management Project. And yeah, Neely, if you could try and yell, I think they might appreciate it.
And you know, Neely, even if you need to turn or maybe take that chair next to Dale or something so that you can kind of turn and face the audience so they can hear.
Sure. Sit right here. Thank you, Mr. Patton. Good morning, Mr. Chairman, members of the board. I'd just like to highlight here that this is an update on the status of the Priest Lake Water Management Project. You will not ask me to be taking any action today or tomorrow on this. And really, mine's sort of the intro and giving you the background and sort of the status of where we are on this project. So, as you'll recall, as a result of limited water supplies and drought conditions in northern Idaho in dry years, and some of those years that are recent are like 2015, 2016, even 2019 and 2021 have been what we would call dry. And it's been difficult to maintain the required pool levels in Priest Lake, as well as maintaining flow downstream of Priest Lake Outlet Dam. Due to this, the board initiated a study in February of 2018, and that study recommended temporarily raising the surface water of Priest Lake during dry years up to 6 inches to allow for more water in the lake to maintain those lake levels in the late season. Additionally, that study recommended replacing the porous breakwater with an impervious breakwater structure and dredging a portion of the thoroughfare channel. As part of that study, we held several public scoping meetings where we got feedback from the public on the design of the new breakwater and on the proposal to raise the dam 6 inches in dry years. Got a lot of feedback. Additionally, we had developed a steering committee as part of that project, and we checked in with them frequently also, making sure that we got buy-in from local communities and local folks in terms of the design and before we proceeded. So construction began in fall of 2020. The board authorized funds not to exceed $5 million from their revolving development account for construction of the outlet dam and the thoroughfare portion of the Priest Lake project. It also included some construction management costs for Mott MacDonald, the board's engineer. And we do have folks from Mott MacDonald in attendance today. They will not be giving a presentation at this work session, but they will be speaking both at the thoroughfare and at the outlet dam and answering questions. And so we have Shane Phillips and John Dawson from the Mott MacDonald consultant team, and we'll get to talk to them later. So construction began last fall in February of 2021. The low bidder, Strider, who was doing the construction, indicated that they had anticipated some conditions at the outlet dam that may require a second season of construction. We consulted with our Mott MacDonald engineer, and they agreed that it may push into a second season, and recommended that because of the risk associated with a tight construction timeline and spring runoff, that the board authorize that. So the board did do that in February of 2021. They authorized that second season. Subsequently, the work at the thoroughfare was completed in April of 2021, and it was completed on schedule and on budget. The final walkthrough was this past spring, and the staff has been working through the finalized thoroughfare punch list and construction contract during the summer of 2021, and that is closed out. And again, I think we're really proud that we completed that one on schedule and on budget. I think going into this, if you would have asked several folks on staff, we would have suspected that it would have been the thoroughfare that would have maybe taken a second season or thrown us some more curveballs. So I know there was a lot of locals that were really looking at the breakwater as the primary portion of this project. So I think it was helpful that that was the one that did not get pushed to a second season, because it had so many eyes on it, and the folks are really pleased with it, as you'll see later today when we show a video, as well as tour it. So work has been completed at the breakwater. Work is scheduled to resume in November of this fall for the outlet dam, and that work is scheduled to be completed in spring 2022, June 1, it will be completed no later than June 1. In spring 22, staff is working to develop an asset management plan as well as an operation and management plan for the outlet dam. And we'll be working internally with staff on an operations plan. As I said, construction is scheduled to resume in November. And with that, I would stand for any questions on the status of this project.
Any questions for Neely? Okay, I think we're ready to move on.
Okay, next we have an update on the 2021 operations, this current year. We had Doug Jones scheduled to provide this update. As you all know, he's our Department of Water Resources Manager out of the Coeur d'Alene office, and works directly with the operation of Priest Lake Dam and the dam operator. Doug had some family issues and could not be here today, so again, Neely is going to pinch hit on this item. He's agreed to give Doug's update on the 2021 season operations of Priest Lake and Priest Lake Dam.
Thank you, Mr. Patton. I'm being instructed by staff that I need to be moved to this seat for recording. So I'm going to move back here.
Okay, I'm going to ask if folks back there can hear him.
Question?
Quick question. At one time there was talk about automating the controls on the outlet dam. Is that still a plan?
Mr. Chairman, I can answer
yeah.
that. We had looked at automating it. I think the cost to do that and put a control board where it could be managed, say, from Coeur d'Alene was going to be too cost prohibitive. So that's in the cards in the future, but that's not planned during this stage of the project.
Okay. All right. Can you hear Neely okay? You folks, if Neely sits in that position, can you hear him okay?
Yeah.
Okay, thank you.
As Mr. Patton indicated, I'll give you an update on the 2021 operations, and again, there will be no action requested of you at this time. As you may be aware, there was lower than normal winter precipitation this past winter. This created a much less than normal volume of water available for summer base flows entering Priest Lake. Although the long, cool spring stretched out the water supply to some extent, the gates had to be operated in May to get up to the minimum lake level before Memorial Day weekend. Early June water supply predictions based on snow water indicated lake inflows were going to be less than 50% of normal. Another dry and abnormally hot summer exacerbated the issues. The board and the department staff have both monitored river flows and lake level daily, and it has been noted that some of the 2021 river flows this year have been some of the lowest in 71 years, while the lake has been stable at about 4 inches above minimum lake level. This indicates that the flows were not low because more water was being stored. A result of the work on the gates not being completed is that the 6 inches of additional water storage could not be realized this year when it was needed most. We were able to hold it at about almost at 3.4, but we weren't able to go up the full 3.6. And you can see I have a graph here on my memo under this tab. It has the Priest Lake level and the Priest River discharge. And if you look at it, you can see the black line is the Priest Lake 2021 lake level. You can see where it comes up, and then it almost gets to 3.5, and then it basically stays between 3 and 3.5 till almost September. Looks like September is when it starts approaching that 3 foot. And that's where that additional water being able to hold it above 3 early in the season, you're then able to stretch it out during the entire season so you don't drop below that 3.
You can't be over 3 feet because it's a law down in Boise. So how can it be at 3.6 when that was the set thing for a long time ago for all the resorts and everything?
Would you mind if put your feet towards it, be a little bit covered loose? If you were mine,
what's that called?
You got it. Okay, I see it.
Yeah.
You got it.
Yeah,
that's right.
Okay, you want to explain that?
That is correct. Up until 2018, the statutes allowed for the lake to be held at 3 during the recreational season. At that point, the board approached the legislature as we were moving into this project, and they adjusted the state law and the state code to allow us during dry years to hold the lake up to 3.5 feet during the recreational season to be able to maintain those lake levels above 3 late in the season. So that law has been changed, the one that was mentioned, Mr. Chairman.
Yes, to 3.6. And that was part of recommendations by that committee that you referenced earlier in your first report, that be one of the actions that we take to be able to sustain the lake and the river.
That is correct. Because those years like 2015, 2016, even 2019 and 2021,
yes.
We would have dropped below 3 very early and not been able to get back in at the lake level. Just a couple comments about the fall drawdown. I talked with Doug Jones. Starting on October 1, he will begin gradually increasing flows, and the river may reach flows of up to 2,700 CFS by October 5th. And the plan is to have the lake down to 0.1 gauge height by November 1, and then we'll have construction scheduled to begin in November to complete the outlet dam construction. And with that, I will stand for any questions on operations.
Any questions on the operations? Okay.
Okay.
All right. Next, Brian?
Next, we'll have Matt Anders from the department talk about the long-term operational guidance going forward. We'd originally called these rule curves, and I think Matt is suggesting that we might call them operations curves or operations guidance. So I think most of you board members know Matt. He's one of our supervisors in our hydrology section over the surface water group. And with that introduction, Matt, when you're ready. And if I could ask you to speak up when you talk a little bit.
Are we ready, Mr. Chairman?
Pardon?
Are we ready?
I Jennifer's ready. I'm ready. Right. You're going to have to use your big outdoor voice, Matt.
Okay. I would mention the materials will be on the board's website. Folks will want to peruse them later.
Okay.
And they are in the board books. My entire presentation is also in the board book. I'm not sure what to add. 3C. Chairman, members of the board, my name is Matt Anders. I'm going to talk to you about some Priest Lake operational guidance that we have been developing, Sheriff Ferguson and I, over the last few months. We're good. So let's start with just a little geography and history, not too much. It's a little bit faded out, but in the center of your screen there's an outline of the state of Idaho. The Priest Lake Basin is in the extreme northwest corner of the state. In the color figure on the right, I have zoomed into the Priest Lake Basin and outlined it in red. The Priest River has its headwaters in Canada. It flows south into the upper Priest Lake, then into lower Priest Lake, and then it flows out of the lake and down to the Monterey River near the city of Priest River. The Priest Lake Dam was constructed approximately 2 to 3 miles below the outlet of the lake in 1951. That dam is owned by the Idaho Water Resource Board. The purpose of the dam was to stabilize lake levels for summer recreation. Before I move on, I just want to point out that the board, in addition to its water right in the lake, also has a minimum stream flow water right in the Priest Basin. It's located approximately 20 miles south of the lake where the East River comes in from the east and joins Priest Lake. That minimum stream flow water right is subordinate to statutory Priest Lake level operation requirements as outlined in 70-507 of Idaho Code. And I'll talk about that a little more. And it's also subordinate to the water right in the lake 97-2020. So moving on to operations, Idaho Code 70-507 requires, sets the lake levels in the lake based on a USGS gauge that we refer to as the Priest Lake Outlet Gauge. On the right side of your screen there, kind of in the upper right, I've noted the locations of the Priest Lake gauge over time. It originally was located here near the city of Coolin in 1911 to 1913, and then the gauge was discontinued. It came back into existence in 1928 to 2013, closer to the outlet, and then in 2013 it was moved to the marina. In the center there's a picture. You might not be able to see it as good, it's kind of washed out, but it's of a boat motor and a pier where the gauge currently resides. So the code says that in normal to wet years, we'll maintain the lake at a level of 3 feet as measured on this gauge. And then in dry years, we have a range of options between 3 and 3.5 feet to maintain the lake. Currently, Idaho Water Resource Board policy is that when the lake level is above 3 feet, we'll maintain a minimum of 60 CFS of discharge in the Priest River below Priest Lake Dam. For many years, the operations of Priest Lake were undertaken by Vista Power Corp. through an agreement with the state and Avista. In 2011, that ended, and the state and the Idaho Water Resource Board took over operations again of Priest Lake Dam. Then in 2015, we had a severe drought in northern Idaho, and we had difficulty maintaining the lake at 3 feet. So here is a hydrograph of 2015 of Priest Lake levels. On the left side of the graph there is the lake elevation. On the bottom, for the axes, I have day of the year. Starting in March, if you can't see it, it's a little bit small. There's a green line that goes flat across the center of the screen. That is the target for our lake elevation in 2015. The black line on the graph is the actual lake level. So what we saw in 2015 was in April, things were looking good, or late March, I should say, things are looking good. The lake's above 2, started coming down in April, and the dam operator realized that the runoff was ending. So we began operations in early May and successfully got the lake up to 3 feet. Continued above 3 feet through June, but then in July, we started getting below 3 feet, and we ended up below 3 feet, and we ended up only discharging about 43 CFS out of the dam. And then we just struggled the rest of the summer. 2016 was a better water year, but we still struggled late in the summer. So in 2017, we started forecasting the inflow to Priest Lake so that we could help the dam operators, you know what type of water year is coming so they could kind of have in mind what operations they had. So to prepare this inflow forecast, we take the NRCS forecast, which the NRCS is the Natural Resource Conservation Service. They use the Bunch Grass Meadow Snowtell Site and the Hidden Lake Snowtell Site to forecast the volume of water that's going to leave the Priest Lake Basin near the city of Priest River. Unfortunately, we only are interested in the inflow to Priest Lake. So what we do is at IDWR, we take that forecast from the NRCS and we modify it so that it's just the inflow to Priest Lake, which I have outlined. You can't really see there, but it's kind of a green at the top half of the basin. So we're just looking at that portion of the basin. Thank you. So we do these forecasts. We start February 1st and we do them monthly. Until June 1st, and we provide them to the dam operator, and we're talking with them as needed. And for the last couple of years, we presented this forecast at the Lakes Commission in early May, so that the users have an idea of where we are and what we're thinking in terms of water supply. So this is an example of the forecast for April 1st that we completed in 2021. So what this graph shows is the April through September inflow to Priest Lake. On the left, I have inflow in acre feet. On the bottom is these are years. So each one of the blue bars represent a year, the amount of inflow to Priest Lake from 1991 to 2020. The dashed line there is the average over that time. On the right side of the screen, the last five bars are green, kind of dashed bars. This is our forecast for 2021, which ranged on the low end from 400,000 acre feet to the high end of 672,000 acre feet with an average of 537. So as of April 1st, based on that forecast, we knew that we were going to be a little bit below average if things, you know, go according to plan, a lot below average if we're at the low end. So in this graph, I have rearranged the data and added some. So what I have here is on the left side, I still have the April through September inflow to Priest Lake. But the data are now organized in rank order so that the highest inflow starting from 1951 through 2020 is on the left side, and the lowest are on the right side. Now I can't read it. So what we have on the left side there is 1974 and 1977 were the highest. And on the right side, 1977 and 2015 were the lowest for the period of record since the dam has been constructed in 1951. I do have a green line on there. You can barely see it, but it is the average over that time, which is about 630,000 acre feet of inflow in the April through September time frame. This orange bar that you see across the graph is the range of our April 1 forecast for 2021. Based on that, you can see that we're kind of on the low end, and a comparable year, at least as of April 1st, we were thinking comparable years were going to be 2003 and 2004, which kind of puts us in the not too bad, kind of a dry to maybe on the borderline of wet to normal. I've also on this graph divided it into types of water years. On the right, I have very dry, kind of in the middle there, I have dry, and then on the wet and normal on the left. So we classified, as of April 1st, we classified this as a dry year to give, so that based on the amount of inflow we have, which with a dry year, we're concerned, but we hope we have enough water. So this is something new that we've been developing here. We finally made it to the fill guidance curve. I want to point out the word guidance here. This is the guidance that we're providing to the dam operator from a hydrologic standpoint of what we think the lake levels need to be for the minimum lake levels need to be in the lake for every day of the year. The dam operator, you know, and Doug Jones in this case, is getting lots of information. He's looking at temperature, he's looking at wind effects, he's looking at ET, he's getting input from resort owners. So this is just one of the pieces of information that he's taking in to make his operational decision. So the way to look at this graph is I have the minimum lake level on the left, and I have day of the year on the bottom. And then I have three lines on this graph. The blue line is the very dry year. The red line is a dry year. And the green line is a normal to wet year. So for 2021, we were in a dry scenario. That's how we think of that year. So for example, to use this, you go over the day of the year you want, or the day of the year, and then move vertical. So if we use, let's use May 7th. On May 7th, if you go over a little bit to the left, Jennifer, a little farther. Perfect. So if you go to May 7th, and then you move vertically until you hit the red line, it says that we should have at least, you know, half a foot or three quarters of a foot in the lake. And it also provides an outlook of where they need to be after that. So by the time they need, you know, get to early, a couple weeks after that, they need to be up near three. Next slide, please. So I want to provide a little bit of background about how we developed these lines and put them, why we put them where we put them. So I have the graph broken up into three sections: fill, drawdown, and regulation or recreation. So let's start with the fill. So the placement of these lines, the top of the fill where the lines are going from kind of upward, that ends on Memorial Day. We want the lake at 3 feet on Memorial Day or by Memorial Day. To determine where we wanted to start those lines roughly represent where we need to start operations at zero. We looked at the historical data, and we looked at like dry years and wet years and different types of years and groupings to kind of get an idea of what was working and what wasn't working. And that's how we determined where we wanted to start those lines, the days of the year. On the drawdown side, a little bit easier. We always, or at least most of the time, bring it, you know, early October, we start bringing it down, and it's done by early November for kokanee spawning, so we just replicated that. The regulation or the recreation period was a little more difficult. So the whole idea of this operation is that we would like to store additional excess water in late May and early June when there's plenty of water in the system, plenty of water in the river, and then hold that water until we need it and later in the summer to keep the lake above 3 and keep the river above 60 CFS. So the first thing we needed to do is, well, what volume do we need? Extra volume do we need in the lake? So we dug through all the historical data from 51 to 20. We looked at the years that we had trouble in, like, for example, in very dry years, we just looked at those years, and we calculated how much additional volume we needed to make it through the summer on years that we had trouble making it through the summer. So on this graph, we placed that line at very dry at 3.3 feet. That gives us enough volume to go through the summer. For the dry years, we placed it at 3.2. And even on wet and normal years, we place it at 3.1. And I think I need to mention on that, the reason that we did that is this is a big lake that's hard to control. And if you target for 3 feet, you're often gonna go below. So targeting 3.1 provides a little bit of operational room to make sure we don't go below that. The second thing, the second area of this graph that I wanna talk about is where those flat lines bend down, you know, around August 15th. So what we wanted to do is say, well, when we have the water stored, at what point has the danger period passed and you can let the water up? Can you go to the next slide, please? I'm gonna ask you to come up. So what we did is, this is a graph of the days of each day of the year. Let me back up. Frequency on the left, day of the year on the bottom. What we've done here is we've graphed for each day from 1951 to 2020 the number of times that the lake was below 3.0 on the gauge. What we see here is, we'll use July 10th for an example here. I can barely see it, but I'm gonna guess what the number is. So from 1951 to 2020, that's roughly 70 years of operations. About 11 times we went below 3.0 on that day. So when we start stacking these up, we see that in July, it averaged around 8 or 10 times. Not a super concerning number, but we see that around August 15th, that number goes up. Into early September, we're starting to 30 times out of the 70 years, we're having trouble keeping it up. So if you go back to the last graph, that's why we set 8:15. If you can make it to 8:15 during the summer, you know, August 15th, and everything's fine, we can start letting that water out. We're not going to need it for that year, based on historical years. Next slide. So the last thing I want to do is show you three examples of water years that we've overlain on these graphs. So this is 2020. It was considered a normal water year in terms of water supply. In March and April, the water starts coming up. In May, it goes above, the lake naturally goes above 4 feet on the gauge. That's without operations. When it starts coming down in early June, gate operations start. The target Doug had in this year was 3.1. So he starts bringing the lake down. In late June, the lake starts coming down. Doug starts bringing it back up. We get a rainstorm, then we get it above 3.5, which was difficult for the resort owners, and we realized that, and then he got it to come back down again. So there's little problems that happen in years like that. But what he was able to do was roughly keep it at 3.1, you know, plus or minus, and he never went below 3 in 2020 by doing it then. Next slide, please. Here's 2003, a dry year. Lake naturally comes up again almost to 4. They start gate operations when the lake is receding about 3.5. In 2003, the target elevation was 3, so that's why the lake is fluctuating around 3. I'm going to ask you to use your imagination here. In current operations, a year like 2003, when it got down to the red line there, which is the middle line, the operations would have been such that he tried to keep it around that red line. And you can imagine if it was around that red line, we wouldn't have gone below 3 in this year. And then the final slide is 2021. I'm going to ask Jennifer to go back about 5 slides. It's the one where I ranked them in order. One more. Yes. Okay. So this was April 1st. So in April 1st, we thought it was a dry year. We said, you know, it's roughly 537,000 acre feet. Well, when we ran this forecast on May 1st, this orange box had shifted down considerably. And then as we watched it in the 15th of May, we were watching the numbers, and it shifted down even more. And what was happening was is we had a pretty decent snowpack, but it was so dry in the spring that the inflow just didn't show up the way we thought it would. So we classified it as a dry year. Please go back. Right. One more. So that's why I have this classified as a very dry year. So if we look at April, the lake starts coming up naturally. Late April, Doug decides to do operations. We're not getting enough gate operations. We're not getting enough inflow. And he has to use gate operations to get it up to 3.0. And he makes it by Memorial Day. And his target was above 3.3 this year. I think he had 3.4 was actually what he was trying to do. As you can see, he was able to keep it up for most of June. In July, inflow is really starting to go down. So he starts letting the water out just the way we planned, keeps the river above 60 the way we planned. And then he just slowly creeps it down over the summer. He never went below 3, and the closest he got to 60 was this last weekend. It was 60 over the weekend, but it was the first time all summer. So, I mean, there is some science here, but there's quite a bit of art in this, managing a lake this size. I thought Doug did a great job of keeping above 3 and keeping water in the river. And with that, that was my last slide. So if there are any questions, I'd be more than willing to give it my best.
Okay. Any questions for Matt?
Chairman, Dale. Matt, right now the lake is at 3.0.
Mr. Chairman?
Yeah.
Yes. Really close. I checked it yesterday.
And the river flow is 60 plus?
It was 60 over the weekend, but it came back up. I want to say it's a little over 100 right
now.
Right
now.
Yes.
This morning, if I may, this morning it's 3.07 and our flow was 164.
Thank you. I like that guy.
Yeah.
He knows his data.
Those are good numbers.
Those are good numbers. And we're in the period now, once we get into September, it normally comes back. So we kind of got through the nervous period where we're kind of really worried about it.
Okay, good. Thanks.
Okay, other questions for Matt? Thank you, Matt. It looks like you put a lot of work into developing this guidance, and I'm sure it'll help us better manage the lake in the future. So, thank you.
Thank you, Chairman.
Okay. All right.
Yeah.
I said guidance. Okay. Bonner County, do we have somebody?
Yes. We'll have Steve Klatt from Bonner County provide some comments.
Welcome you here, Mr. Klatt.
Thank you very much. It is truly a genuine pleasure. I have put together a PowerPoint that just sort of shows some of the history of this project. And there's no, I mean, you can just sort of thumb through those. I will attempt to be brief. I know that we are running a little short of time. I think first and foremost, first I welcome you all to the Priest Lake area once again. And speaking for the locals, would just truly like to thank the board for their interest in this project. And I think I'll use the weather as an indication. This has been really and truly kind of a magical process from the time we first were up here, which I think was 4 years ago. Was this 2017, 2016 when we first got together?
Yeah.
And the stars aligned. I remember talking at that time with the board about the economic impacts of recreational water, and I remember Roger talking to me about it was really the first time that he had ever really put it in that kind of context. But it is, in fact, a major industrial complex of a different sort, but it is that. You can thumb through those slides. So this is just the beginning of construction. I think speaking for the locals, the locals genuinely appreciate the water board and the state, and having had the good fortune at the time of having Senator Keogh and the confidence of the governor in Senator Keogh's judgment at the time that this is a worthy project, and the fact that the resources at that time, that was not a time of great surplus in the state of Idaho. And so the stars just really seem to align, and the weather that we're scheduling another tour of the thoroughfare and looking at it, I think we'll have a better day today than we'll have tomorrow, so our timing once again is pretty darn good. But the locals just cannot say, they thank you extremely, and I will say, and I've said a number of times, I've never seen a cooperative venture between Boise and the locals, and Boise being a legislature, a state agency, local government, and local residents. I've never seen quite the like of this one, where everyone pitched in, everyone saw the worthiness of the project, the resources happened to be there, and this was really a fine, fine project. It went extremely well. You know, from the first time when you looked from the air and you couldn't find the thoroughfare channel, to the last slide I show when we were up here doing an engineering review of the situation that we had at the time, and we're able to get up the thoroughfare and through the thoroughfare and up to the upper lake in April in a low water year is a true sign of the progress that we made. So that's really, I'll take any questions, but I really think just trying to let your agenda move along so we can have lunch and get up to the lake. I'll let that speak for itself, but once again, truly for all of us up here, I want to thank you sincerely. So that's it.
Thank you. Thanks for being here, and thanks for being a good partner. We've tried to do a good job on this, and I think we're going to get there and have it all wrapped up for you.
We all have done it. It's been a great partnership. Okay. Truly a great partnership.
Al?
Yeah. Mr. Chairman, Mr. Clatt, thank you for the presentation and the photographs. It's going to be really exciting for me. The last time I was here was before we began anything, and so it's really nice to see a project accomplished and see something get done and see something that is a benefit to the local community. So we're really, and I think the rest of the board are really proud of our efforts in helping you all out.
I retire October 1st, and I can't tell you that I really feel this is a fine accomplishment that we actually really, truly got started and got it done. So thank you all.
And I'd like to just tell you guys how wonderful it was for us to work up here with you. It's one of those projects in the 20 years I've been on the water board that it just worked, and the people came up. I can remember calling over and saying, you know, we need another $40,000, and we'd call Senator Keel, and she'd get people in the hallway, and it was a great effort by a lot of people. You guys well deserved.
It was. From the top of the state to Boise, it was a great effort. So thank you all.
Thank you. Okay, we're going to watch a movie?
Yes. So we've asked Steve Stubner to put together a bit of a video on this project and talking about what it is and what it accomplishes. So looks like Steve may take just a minute to get it ready, but when he's ready, we can take it away.
Technical difficulties.
Yeah. You kind of left the Outlet project.
Yeah, we experienced that.
Like all projects.
But we're still in the game.
Well, we had Daryl break the internet this morning too, so yeah. had a few glitches.
It's not planned on January 1st.
So are we looking at what, 5 minutes?
Or less.
Okay.
We want to do the presentation.
Yeah.
Interior.
Dale?
Yeah, I think while we're working through this technical glitch, I think Dale's got a service award that he's going to present, and we'll just take time and do that, and then come back to the other.
This is going to be for Carl Duncan. Could you come on up, Carl? Would it be better if I get up here and get a better view from there?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Give you a little bit of background. I think probably most everybody in here from the precinct area knows about Carl and his dedication to the outlet dam. And if I'm correct, I think you started there in 1956?
Yep.
As an operator, a manager of the dam. He didn't have all this information that Matt was given out to work with. He mastered his own knowledge of the lake and the dam through all over the years. And what a wonderful job he did. He was the heart and soul of the dam, and he understood how it operated. He understood the lake and how it operated, and he always tried to be at least a couple days ahead of it if he could,
yeah,
to make sure that he was ready for anything the lake had to offer. And what a years of service, and I can't say enough about it. So we have a word here for you, Carl, for your service. To the board and the outlet dam and the people of Priest Lake. You know, this guy did it all. And it was like a part-time job for him. He worked for Northern Lights for a good number of years and still managed the dam and took care of things. And, you know, I don't think there was any complaints about how Carl operated the dam. He was dedicated to it. He was loyal to the lake and the people of Priest Lake. So. In appreciation of all your time and service, I'd like to
thank you.
Give you this and cherish it. You were surely appreciated.
Thank you.
If you want to say a few words, you're welcome to do that.
How's that?
If you want to say a few words.
Well, I'd like to thank everybody that has worked with us, has always been there. If you needed some help, they were always there. And that is one of the best things that ever happens, the way they work together. And we'll come out of it with good things for the bay, the way it's run at the, it, so that you can handle and make it run to work bright for us all. And that is a big thing with water and everything. And I thank so much for the help, and we are really fortunate to have, that I had the chance to be there for 36 years. 36 years.
63. You got a number of years in there.
Yep. But anyhow, that's, I hope that we can keep this moving right along here and follow through, and don't try to make a thing out of it, just to make so that we all have a chance to get water on this for this Priest Lake, and that we're lucky. So I say thank you.
Thank you very much. We appreciate your service. We appreciate your dedication, and we appreciate your interest in seeing that the needs of Priest Lake have been met, and all of us have benefited from that. And I'm sure the constituents around here are ever grateful for your efforts. Thank you.
Thank you so much. Thanks so much for your effort.
You need this?
All
I think we're plugged in.
There we are.
Okay.
Now we have to see if we have sound.
If not, you'll have to sing.
Can we turn that up to the max? So one other thought I had is that they have a big screen TV in the foyer.
Well, I think we're, let's just go through this. Go see all this.
Hill is the owner of Hills Resort, a popular lodging, dining, and boating destination on the west shore of Priest Lake.
Yesterday,
he's one of many Priest Lakers who are quite pleased with the newly constructed breakwater feature built last winter. The deepened thoroughfare channel provides clear access for all types of boats to reach Upper Priest Lake.
Tough job having to make this one.
Yeah, rough duty. You know, once they staged all the rocks, they were able to get in and out of here in 3 months. It was spectacular how well that went. They did a fantastic job. We don't feel like it's going to come out any better.
Priest Lake is one of the most scenic and popular lakes in the state of Idaho. It's a prized tourism asset and much adored place for locals to play in the Idaho Panhandle. During the recreational season.
I think it's a positive thing.
Construction work on the outlet dam will occur in the winter of 2021 to 2022. Due to limited water supplies in drought years like 2015, it has been difficult to maintain required lake levels during the recreation season. That prompted the Idaho Water Resource Board to do a $300,000 study on Priest Lake water management. Locals lobbied the board to explore a long-term solution for the breakwater and thoroughfare as part of the study.
The mid-90s to when I came to work for Bonner County in 2015, the breakwater went from poor to bad to worse over those 20 years and was truly in a total state of disrepair by 2015.
Sediment was plugging the thoroughfare channel, and the aging breakwater structure was failing to keep the channel open.
Well, the last probably 6-7 years, there were places people would get out. They would run their props into the sand, and they had to get out and push their boat, especially at the mouth of where the thoroughfare meets the lake.
In my heart, I felt like if we can't go to the upper lake, if we can't enjoy this thoroughfare, that's like taking a big trip to Yellowstone Park and Old Faithful is closed.
In 2015, Cox and other Priest Lakers formed the Breakwater Committee and launched a fundraising campaign to save the thoroughfare. When the Water Board visited Priest Lake in 2017, Klatt and the Priest Lakers took them on a boat ride.
It was really just presenting to them the economic force that water is to Bonner County. It's a $20+ million industry. It rivals the uses of water in southern Idaho and agriculture and the economic impacts and the economic benefits.
Gail Van Stone of Hope, a former Bonner County commissioner, had been recently appointed to the Water Board. He understood the vital need for the project.
Everybody had a vested interest in getting something done up here. 2015, we had the low water year. We knew we had to do something different with Outlet Dam and try to improve it. And Steve Klatt was working on trying to get something done with the thoroughfare. Everybody combined their efforts and made it happen.
Taking Water Board members on the boat ride was key, according to former State Senator Sean Keogh of Coeur d'Alene.
Once we were able to get them out on the lake and up into the thoroughfare and to Upper Priest Lake, that was the best thing we could have done. And once they saw it, they understood their role and what their role could be.
As the co-chair of the legislature's budget committee, Keogh was in a unique position to push for the project in the State House.
He's been supportive and understood the need of Southern water issues and worked closely with folks like Senator Baer and Speaker Scott Bedke over the years on the water issues that were important to them. And being able to explain how our northern water issues tied into the state as a whole, they became very supportive.
Keogh and the Idaho legislature approved $5 million for the Priest Lake Water Management Project. Save the Thoroughfare provided $155,000, and Bonner County and the Lakes Commission chipped in for a total of $250,000 in local matching funds.
I was so surprised at the response that we got. Contributions from Maine to Southern California.
It became possible at the beginning, and my gosh, it just started to happen by itself. The people here, the community, Priest Lake community is amazing.
It was definitely a great accomplishment of the whole group of folks that worked on it. It was great to have that support from the legislators and the governor's office and the Department of Water Resources and the board.
Strider Construction was the low bidder on the project. The Water Board hired Mott McDonald to serve as construction manager. First step, they removed 9,500 cubic yards of sediment from the thoroughfare channel to create a new water depth of 5 feet at full pool. Then, Strider built the breakwater structure in 4 layers, starting at the bottom with geotextile fabric and a 1 foot layer of bedding stone. 4 feet of armor stone in the middle, and the whole structure is topped with a 5 foot layer of rock boulders. The height of the breakwater is 8 to 10 feet, but it doesn't block the view for thoroughfare property owners in Sandpiper Shores.
The new natural rock wall is phenomenal. I mean, the Sandpiper Shores Owners Association is really pleased with how the agencies collaborated with us to maintain our views and maintain a really aesthetic visual functioning breakwater.
Extra sand from the dredging project created a new beach on the lakeside of the breakwater, a new amenity for boaters to enjoy. Once the height of the outlet gates are extended this winter, IDWR will have the ability to store extra water in Priest Lake to maintain required lake levels in dry years.
This year was a trying year with the water shortage, so we're going to have to manage this with like a microscope, make sure it's going to work out for everybody.
In the meantime, everyone visiting Priest Lake is enjoying the new thoroughfare channel and visiting Upper Priest Lake.
So we had a partnership that, in my experience of 50 years in being involved in Idaho politics and Bonner County politics, is truly unique. I've never seen a project that had that kind of cooperative, cohesive partnershiping that was done on this thing. I've never seen the like of it. It's been great. Priest Lake has got almost a magical hold on people's hearts. This is remarkable.
Okay, that's it, Mr. Chairman. Steve, you got anything more?
Just really appreciate Steve Cladd and all the Priest Lakers that helped us put the film together.
Apologize for the technical difficulties, and I want to thank Jennifer for finding a workaround on the fly.
Yeah. We appreciate Jennifer. She's really good at keeping us on schedule and taking care of these glitches as they come.
She's pretty organized.
Again, we'd like to thank you all for being here today. We're going to adjourn this work session and prepare, I guess, to go on a tour of Priest Lake after lunch.
Yes, have lunch, and then we will leave. We will depart from the front doors right after lunch at about 1 o'clock.
Okay.
Are we going to check in?
When do we check in?
Yes, and we will post this video on our website shortly, so folks can take a look at it when they choose.
And hear it.
Yeah. We may also ask the Lakes Commission if they may want to post it on their site as well.
So. Okay.
We need to check in still.
We'll be fine. We can check in even after the field trip.
Okay.
Vehicles at 1 o'clock out here then, right?
That's the plan, Neely, is front door at 1 o'clock?
Front door at 1 o'clock. We'll have the vehicle staged.
Where will these guys be eating lunch?
We're going to eat in this room.
Okay.
And currently they have it set up in the next door room.
Okay.
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 Perfect.
Works.
All right. Okay.
Mr. Chairman, I believe we adjourn.
Okay. Second. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Motion carries.